45-minute session today. We want to go over some of the risks of open source models, and then cover like what AI governance can do about this. So the first part will be a presentation so that we have the same common background information on what we're talking about, what kind of models, what does the technology look like. This isn't very in-depth on the technical part, but people who do have technical questions, feel free to ask them. And we'll leave a lot of time for audience participation, questions and answers. So about 10-minute presentation, 15-minute initial panel discussion, and then interaction with the public so that you can give us your thoughts and inputs on AI governance, open source AI models. So let's start just with AI safety. How many in this room already have heard this term or have read about AI safety? Can you raise your hands? I'm seeing about half of you, thank you. So an interdisciplinary field concerned with preventing accidents, misuse, or other harmful consequences that could result from artificial intelligence AI systems. This is not just technical talk or a social thing. It has to both require the expertise to understand what machine learning systems are doing, how they work, what are their problems. So that's what I'll be going through in the first 10 minutes, 5 minutes of the talk. And then figure out how society can adapt and how the economy can adapt to this new technology. Okay, part one, I'll just go briefly over deep learning, what's different. What's different with open source with relating to deep learning models as opposed to classic open source software. And then part two, quick introduction, my personal thoughts on AI governance, which do not represent the rest of the panel, and then the panel discussion. Why is there something different with deep learning models? This is not the same as usual software, where you can see the code, and you can reason about what the model is doing. In deep learning models, there is a huge pile of weights, randomly initialized, updated until it succeeds. And there is a field called interpretability, which tries to figure out how do these models achieve what they do. And this is not always something that we actually can do for the largest models. So if I'm talking about GPT-4, ChatGPT that you've interacted with, it's not sure how it's able to get the information that it has, and we have some amount of uncertainty about what tasks it can do. When it was trained, we did not predict what strategies GPT-4 could use to reason, and we continuously discovered techniques like chain of thought prompting, and iteratively like tree of thoughts. And this brings the particular difficulty where you can't scope exactly what actions, what kind of text a GPT-4-like model can do. There are a bunch of vulnerabilities, and I'm going to focus on text and image generative AI. Accidents is when the developer did not intend a particular use, and yet something happened. So specification gaming, specifically that you optimize the AI to succeed at a certain objective, like in video games, and then it uses an exploit to gain maximum score instead of actually doing what you wanted to do. And there are cases, so for generative AI, where we wanted to train an LLM to do text that was agreeable or that users found quite pleasant, and once this was trained with a reinforcement learning system, it started talking about birthday cakes all the time because the particular machine learning system that was rating it kept rewarding this. So even as developers, you might train an ML system, and then it will have unwanted behavior. You could also give it perfectly correct data sets, and yet it could misgeneralize if it's learning labels that are easier to learn than more complicated data in your images. And then hallucinations. We use LLMs to give us some information, and yet some of the time this information is incorrect. I'll not go too long on the adversarial part because this is less about how we train systems, but how you make sure that while you're there in deployment, you are still safe to use them. But there's specifically like prompt injections, where particularly crafted input can cause your LLM systems to change behavior, sometimes leak information about what prompts you were using before. And I mentioned Trojans because this is a unsolved problem. If in your data set that you downloaded online, if someone created a small percentage of this data to have a particular relationship, they can make that upon a particular trigger, the machine learning system will behave differently. So particular token inputs, which suddenly cause the LLM to be much more willing to reveal prompt information or to follow different instructions than what you thought you fine-tuned it to do. And this discussion, like FOSDEM, is specifically about open source. And open weight models are not the same thing as open source software. It's not because that you have the weight that you can actually know what the model is doing. Backdoors currently cannot be identified systematically. And you can't manually update the models. I mean, we don't have the, like as humans, we can't update the model weights directly to rewire its behavior, though we can fine-tune it, which is like do new training runs. So to have actually open source deep learning systems, you need to have control of the full stack, both the data set and the training code, and you actually also need computing power to run this. If you don't have these things, you are not actually in control of the model that you have. Even if you do train this ML system yourself, you have the problems that I evoked before, earlier. And so some really high-level approaches. If you're going to use these models, don't use them in critical operations. And otherwise, well, be clear on what your model can and can't do by examining the model card or creating one when you do yourself. Misuse risk. You can't choose how users will retrain your model after it's deployed. So Llama had particular safeguards so that it doesn't produce illegal content or illegal instructions, and yet fine-tuning can remove those safeguards. So at a fundamental level, the only way you can get a model to never be dangerous is for it to not be capable to be dangerous. And if you're going to release your model in the wild, please evaluate your model's capabilities before release. This corresponds notably to, can your model help people in illegal acts and others? Okay, part two, AI governance and open source. Let's just get some context for where we're going. Like, the current capabilities appeared in the last few years, and we've had an exponential increase in the amount of training compute put behind these deep learning models, which is some of the reason why we're not able to understand them in that much detail. And not just training compute, the algorithmic efficiency of these models has been rising. So for a given year, for a given data set, we can now train models that can more efficiently recognize the image. It takes less amount of compute to train the models to still succeed at getting 63% performance in ImageNet. And so this leads to a question of like, are we going to, this is leading to more and more powerful AI. And I just want to open this question, like leading ML scientists say that mitigating the risk of extinction from AI should be a global priority alongside other societal scale risks such as pandemics and nuclear war. So what are they talking about? I just don't have the time in 2 minutes to go over the whole field of AI existential risk and like forecasting, governance, AGI governance. So I've listed these three papers for people who will be more interested to go into those details, but we can talk about some of these in the Q&A if you're interested.